Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
This morning's message will be novel. I tried something like this a couple years ago on a Sunday night, and it didn't go the way I wanted, and so I just left it and just set the whole thought aside. But during the week this week, I was reminded of several things. I actually spent a little bit of time talking to some old-timers, and we kind of rehearsed some of the old days, men that I hadn't seen in a long, long time. So this morning's message is not a typical message you would hear at Fundamental Baptist Church. I try to be textual. I try to preach expository messages out of individual texts so that people can get a hook into the Word of God. And I preach very few topical messages. I do preach some, and you would classify this as a topical message this morning. And I trust that it'll be a blessing, and you'll hear some practical things that are going to connect in your life, and you'll never forget. I call this message "Wisdom from an Old Football Coach," and I'm going to use some things that I learned in football over the years from my coaches and at coaches' clinics, and things that I try to teach and rebuild in building young men for the glory of God and even preparing them for life. And there's just some things that need to be said this morning. And I have read, and I read this a long time ago. Now, I didn't do any recent research on this, but like when in the days of yore, in the old days, when I was coaching, I remember reading on several occasions that the two most influential men in a young man's life is their dad and their high school football coach. There's something about authority. There's something about being a man's man that is attractive to young men. Now, this message this morning is for everybody. I'm going to give you some Bible truths that apply to everybody, but boy, they're especially true in the world of football. And there are things that I learned. I coached for 20 years, 20 years of walking the sidelines, 20 years of being out in the hot, burning sun in August. I coached when we used to do two-a-days and sometimes three-a-days, and it was a different world back then. As a matter of fact, that's when football was really football, not like today, all right? I still have it hanging on my dresser. My wife will testify to this. I have a whistle called the Acme Thunderer. I don't use it anymore. My days of coaching are, and that whistle, that really controlled practice in a lot of ways. That whistle gave me authority. Now they use some kind of newfangled whistle called a Fox. There's no little P in it or anything like that. It's a kind of real wimpy, kind of like a whistle kind of thing. It's a whoo, like that, you know. I think it's so it doesn't hurt people's ears. That's what you use now, Steve, isn't it? It's kind of that kind of thing. What works better? Okay. That's just opinion from the left over here, all right? On my left. I still got my Acme Thunderer, and I toyed with the idea of bringing it to church this morning. Man, it would rattle your ears if I whistled it up here this morning. It just kind of grabbed attention. So I preached the gospel of football for 20 years, tongue in cheek. I do believe it's the greatest game on earth. I do believe that soccer is still the communist infiltration of America. It's a great game. Get to go to war every Friday night, and nobody dies. Win or lose, you saddle up and you pray. You prepare for the next Friday night. You get to be the general, as the head coach anyway, and the assistant coaches as well. But it's like when you walk in the locker room, everything changes. You know, boom, you know, it's like General Patton has walked in. Man, I kind of relish that, and I do miss that. It doesn't happen here at Fundamental Baptist Church, and I don't know why that is. But there's several things I want to try to instruct and give you some encouragement this morning. And as you grow older, I may not get to this because I don't know how far I'll get in the message. When I look at when I was a young coach, the score was everything. Winning the game, the record at the end of the year was everything. Back in those days, you could go, we only played 8 games, you could go 7-1 and not go to the playoffs. Back in those days, you'd go 8-0 and not go to the playoffs. Because the people you played, it better be real good. Otherwise, the computer points don't. And so the score, I remember when I first started coaching, got to get the win. Man, whatever it took. And the score is everything. And I want to step back from that. And I started to get away from that finally as I matured in the battles of high school football. I finally figured it out. No, the team is everything. People are everything. Young men are everything. And some of you men in the church are men that I coached. I count it a great privilege that you're here at Fundamental Baptist Church. And I count it a great privilege that some of you came to Christ in that time. And some came to Christ after that time. And I give all the glory to God to that. And there's several things I want to point out. Number one, be part of the team. If you're not part of the team, man, you lose. You lose. And don't be satisfied with just wearing a uniform. Get off the bench and get in the game. I said that football is the greatest game on earth. You know why? There are 22 positions. There's a place for everybody. You include special teams in high school, you got 55 positions. There's a spot for you. Go to 1 Corinthians in chapter 12. 1 Corinthians and chapter 12. Just turn over a few pages. Verses 26 and 27. The team is so important. Preacher said this week, this week, said, you know, we're kind of like a turtle on a fence post. I didn't know what he was talking about. Turtle on a fence, and he explained it. We didn't get here by ourselves. The team. There's no superstars in the family of God. There's nobody so important that the team, that the work of God can't get along without us. And when we step back and look at the ministry, even the ministries of Fundamental Baptist Church, I didn't get here by myself. Ain't no how. No way. Bless God for every fellow laborer, every co-laborer in the work of God, in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Volunteers, extraordinaire, volunteers by the score, people that don't get paid a dollar, and they're in the ministry, and they're working for the glory of God. And I want you to know there's a spot on God's team for you. Number one, get on the team. Make sure you're born again. Make sure you are a child of God. Make sure you're blood bought. Make sure your eternal destiny has been decided. There's a time and a place where you repent of your sin and you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. That gets you on the team. Now you got a uniform on. Now I would encourage you, don't be satisfied with being on the bench. New Testament Christianity is not a spectator sport. Get on the field. Man, get on the gridiron. When you first make that big hit and the roar of the crowd kind of takes over in your ears, that's pretty exciting. There's an adrenaline pump that, you know, that basketball is a contact sport. We used to say this, I don't know if it's politically correct anymore, but football is a collision sport. Man, there's just something that happens when you make the big hit and you know, a couple lights go off. and there's a medicine taste in your mouth and the guy knows he's been hit. Friday night football. Just a little coolness in the air, the grass just a little bit, turf just a little bit damp, the smell of grass and mud and hard plastic with the collisions and the cracking of hard plastic. I just love it. I go to a high school football guy, I go over here to the Pickford football, I stand in the back on the sidelines on the other side. They don't let me on the sidelines. But by standing off the football field, I get near enough that I can smell the turf. It just brings back a flood of memories. I love high school football. And I'm telling you, being a part of the family of God, being involved in the ministry, being involved in leading a soul to Christ, there's nothing like it. That's a high that the world knows nothing about. So I'd encourage you this morning, be part of the team. There's something bigger than the score, and that's the team. There's something bigger than pats on the back and popularity. And that's people. That's the ministry. That's what it's all about. Sometimes a young coach doesn't understand that, but an older coach does. We're to build men. And as far as ministry is concerned, we're to build people for the glory of God. 20 years coaching football, 39 years pastor in this church. Thousands have come to Christ. There have been some defeats, but there have been more wins. And God has been good every step of the way. Verse 26, 1 Corinthians 12, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So you are the right tackle. You say, well, that's not all that important. That's very important. You don't win the line of scrimmage, you go nowhere. You go nowhere. That's the thing about a team. That's every play in the game of football, theoretically, X's and O's, every play is a touchdown. Every play. If all 11 guys do their job, that's a touchdown. That's why it's a team sport. It's the ultimate team sport. If one guy doesn't do his job, the play stops. Somebody on the defense stops the play. That the same is true in the family of God. We are all needed. All need it. The foot can't say, well, because I'm not as comely, I'm not as important as the eye. That's not how it works. It's the team. Fundamental Baptist Church, Ecclesia, Called Out Assembly. This isn't the Tim Rader Show. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. This isn't the Bill Lockhart Show or the Josh Rader Show. That's not what it is. It's not about entertaining, having some kind of praise team up here and swallowing a microphone and listen to me sing for it. Well, that's not what it is. That is not what it is. It is the team, the team, the team. It's all about souls. Souls are our battle cry. Number two, get off the bench. I already mentioned that, so I'm going to move on. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. A church that is not an evangelistic church is not a church. And it is a dying church. I told a pastor that this week. If you're not evangelizing, you're dying. Because people die. People move. You're either evangelizing or you're dying. You can't be just that group that says, well, we're just going to disciple people. Well, who are you going to disciple? So get off the bench. Get in the game. Prepare to win. Go back to 1 Corinthians in chapter 9. 1 Corinthians in chapter 9. Verse 24. And we are to win. We're to have purpose. We're to be that people that knows what we are doing and where we are going. We are the outpost that God has planted in the center of rural Chippewa County. And we're to wave the flag. We're to know what our job is. A working church is a happy church. A church must have purpose. Our purpose is the Great Commission. Evangelize, disciple, and baptize. And we're to constantly be at it. And the moment you pull your oar back in the boat, the moment you stop pedaling, then you start to become a dissatisfied Christian. And you become a critic. And that's not a good thing. And that's happened to so many churches, so many people over the years. Well, now I know how to do it. And I don't need to sweat quite so hard. Man, don't go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Play to win. Prepare to win. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Philippians 3:14, press on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. Stay focused. Know why we are here. Fundamental Baptist Church, I'm preaching to you this morning. I'm part of it. Know why we are here. It's not to just enjoy ourselves. Man, the old ship Zion is not a cruise ship. It's a battleship. Man, we're to be at war. We're to be doing the work of God. My mind goes back to it, and I remember we were down in Gaylord. We were playing Gaylord High School, and I gave, maybe Steve remembers this, I gave maybe the best, man, my pregame speeches, man, they were, I gave 3 points in a poem and all the power God could give. There were some times, you know, just depending on the team, man, I could get them ripped up into a lather where they were ripping doors off lockers and everything else before, and it would last about one series of downs. You know, that's about it. But I give it everything I had. I mean, just everything I had. Everybody's just, their eyes are this big, you see whites all the way over. Ready to go to war. And in the back of the crowd, in the back of the huddle, in the locker room, one young man, I could name him, but I won't do that because he still lives in the area. He raised his hand and everybody's just foaming at the mouth. He says, Coach. I said, yeah. He said, are we going to McDonald's after the game? I said, stay focused. There's something better than a Big Mac out there, all right? We have the work of God to go to do. So get on the team. Get off the bench. Prepare to win. Be focused. Look at 1 Corinthians 16:13. You've got to turn to this passage. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. There is a softening going on today in our culture that's scary to me. I know I'm another generation, but it's scary to me because it's more than perception. It's reality. A soft kind of Christianity a preppy, acidified, I'm talking spiritually, a pastel-colored kind of cool Christianity. Let's be careful. Now, can you see John the Baptist like that? Oh, I can't. We've got, now, we need to relate, and we are part of the world in which we live, but don't go there as far as a Christian. As a matter of fact, it says in verse 13, Paul, the Apostle Paul, said to the church of Corinth in verse 13, watch ye, look out, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. So what's that mean, preacher? Quit you like men. That means practice manliness. Show yourself to be manly. Isn't that interesting? The Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth, you men, be men. Everybody here that has ever been with me at a football game, if it's an important game, I'll still get involved. A playoff game once in a while or a big game, I'll get involved. And I'm going to make sure the guys on the kickoff team, I'm going to make sure, even though it's not my team, the guys out there in defense or the offensive line, I'm going to make sure they hear these words. Play like men. And I'm serious. Man, one time, some of these things Steve could probably remember because he was assistant coach over there in Red Yard for a whole lot of years as well. I remember one of the go-to guys in our team, we came in at halftime, we got stung a little bit, we were a little bit shocked. He was one of our linebackers, he was one of our men, one of our go-to guys. I walked in the locker room, coach was on the last one in the locker room, and he was sitting down, he had his helmet off, and he was crying. This is at halftime, this is not the end of the game, this is at halftime. He was crying, not because he got hurt, but because, or not because we were losing, but because he got stung. And he didn't expect it. He got physically hurt. And I knew we lost the game right there. And we did. You know, it was a bigger, stronger, tougher team than us. The Apostle Paul says to the church of Corinth, act like men. Be strong. Stand fast in the faith. Play like men. Do you know this? Some of you can Google this afterwards and look it up. Teddy Roosevelt saved American football. At the turn of the 20th century, from the 1900s going into the 1800s going into the 1900s, they were going to outlaw American football in the United States because too many people had died. It was truly a man's game. Remember, their equipment was different back then. There was no forward pass. It was a rugged game. And college football was more popular than even the American pastime at that time, which was professional baseball, and much more popular than pro football. And it was a rugged game. Men, college men, died on the field. And the country was up in arms saying, we got to do something about this. And Teddy Roosevelt saved American football. And you can read all about that. And he said, we need manliness. This was his quote. We need rough games to prepare us for life. I'm thinking, yeah, that is it. And by the way, the result of that was World War I soldiers and World War II soldiers. Amen. The great generation and great number, farm boys and city boys who knew how to be rugged and didn't need the comforts of home. There's a lesson there for us spiritually as well. I was on the board of trustees at Maranatha Baptist University, and I said this at a board meeting, and I remember everybody laughed, but I was serious, and they recognized I was serious after I didn't laugh. They thought I was trying to be funny. I said, I think we need to require all of our preacher boys to play 1 year of college football. I don't care if they're 99 pounds and they're a tackling dummy at practice. They're on the team and they learn what it is to get stung, and they learn what it is to get a bloody nose, and they learn what it is to get up off the ground and go at it again. They all laughed until they saw that I wasn't laughing. And I really think it would have done a lot of good. By the way, at West Point, everybody's required to be in a varsity sport. They even have a light football team for players under, I think it's 180 pounds. Might be 190, I don't remember. You can't, and it's full bore tackle football. And if that's good enough for our future officers and the family of God, we've got to be careful. We need to act like men. Okay, so something didn't go your way. Suck it up, buttercup. Somebody blooded your nose. Man, something happened that it shouldn't have happened the way you thought it should have happened. It's amazing how many people have advice that aren't really involved in the work of God. They just kind of fly by and tell you what's wrong, but they're busy. You know, act like a man. Play like men. Be part of the team. Get off the bench. Prepare to win. Play like a man. And by the way, we were overmatched many times. I remember the Michigan Huron Shores Conference. Oh my goodness! Here, little old Red Yard playing with the weak team was St. Ignace back then. In that conference, Petoskey and Sheboygan. Sheboygan was state powerhouse year after year after year in that time. Petoskey, the Sioux. Was, you know, I better say too much. I'll make people mad at me. but the truth is, you know, we played a lot of games where we were overmatched. But our young guys always gave it everything they had, and they were known for that. And I was proud of that. I really was. Play like men. 1 Corinthians 9:25. Look at verse 25. Back to 1 Corinthians again. Play by the rules. The last several years when I was coaching in the varsity room, on the coach's window were big white letters. If you didn't win right, you didn't win. Play by the rules. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway or unapproved. Play by the rules. We're down in Petoskey in their old field house underneath the big old World War II grandstands there, concrete. And we're in the locker room for the JV football game, which was Thursday, and we were going to play on Friday night. I don't know, Steve, I don't know if you were there. I remember Tim Bradley was there because we laughed. And we're walking out of the locker room, out of where our JV team was, out towards the field. We walked through the varsity locker room, and we were all by ourselves in there, just the coaches, walking through. And in the middle of the floor was a Petoskey Northmen football playbook. And we all stopped and looked at it. Now, if you know anything about football, that's big stuff. And we all looked at it, and if I was by myself, the temptation would have been greater. I don't know. But I remember looking over it, and Tim Bradley, and Tim had this great big grin on his face, and I said, no, I'll leave it there. And we walked right on through. You win by the rules. You do it right. One of the last year's coaching, we're over here at Pickford. Last year's, I was a head coach over here at Pickford. Pickford had beat us a couple years prior to this, so this was payback time. We had a great team. And we're on the Pickford sideline. And I know, I'm sure Steve remembers this. And our headset went out, so the fire department in Red Yard gave us their headset. Maybe it was ambulance corps, I'm not sure which. And it was a little cheaper than what we're normally used to, but so it was on a different frequency. And we put it on. Steve, were you on the headsets? Or was that Tim Bradley? I'm standing right here. The game is going on. It's the first drive. Here's players all around us, and here's the coach with the headset on. I hate wearing those headsets. The only time I wore headsets, and I turned mine off when I had them on, and so I could talk out loud, and people wouldn't know I was talking to myself. That's it. So I didn't have a headset on, and the assistant coach had the headset on, and he said, I remember him looking at me like this and saying, Coach, I can hear everything on their headset. And I looked at him, and I thought for just a split moment, and I said, take them off. And he took them off. And then I looked up, and you know who was running the chain gang right here on this side of me? Chuck Bennon. I remember looking up, and he was staring at me. I said, boy, I'm glad I did the right thing. Play by the rules. You know what that headset, what advantage that would have given us? We'd have heard every play they were sending in. But you play by the rules. Matthew 6, would you turn there very quickly? I'm quickly running out of time. Verse 24, Matthew 6. You cannot live two lives. 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot live two different lives. One life on Sunday morning and another life the rest of the week. That cannot happen. That is called hypocrisy. Or you're a schizophrenic. So you're either a hypocrite or you're crazy if you're trying to live two lives. It doesn't work. Jesus said it can't happen. Now, in the ministry here, we wear many different hats, but we got one head. You understand that? You're going to have all kinds of different jobs, but you got one heart, one set of core values. You can't live two lives. You can't live for God and money, mammon, gain. That's what that is, the God of getting ahead and getting more. You can't do that. That's impossible. You're either going to live for God or you're going to live for that false God. One of the two. You cannot live two lives. So as a child of God, man, play by the rules. Real quickly, go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 6 through 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. By the way, as far as playing like a man and playing to win, win with humility, lose with grace. Sometimes you learn more in defeat than you do in victory. If I had a nickel for every time I said that in my life, I'd be a rich man. But it's true. Were it not for the test, we'd have no testimony. Were it not for the valley, we wouldn't know how good God is. You do learn more in defeat than you do in victory many times. If you just knew nothing but victory, you'd be living in a false world. You'd be of no earthly good to God. And you'd be able to reach nobody. So win with humility and lose with grace. 2 Timothy 2 and or chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. Don't quit. I meant to say this at the beginning of the game. Beginning of the service. I'm in a football mode right now. At practice, I loved practice more than the games from a coach's perspective. As a player, I loved the games more than practice for obvious reasons. But as a coach, I loved the practice more than the games. And I all the time, I tell our assistant coaches, when we're running plays, offense is on this over here, defense is over there, between every play, grab a player and coach him. Get him something that he needs to learn between the plays on the way back to the huddle. Got to be on the hop. Can't spend any time dilly-dallying, but help somebody. There's something to improve on every play. And many times during practice, I just blow the whistle and I'd say these words, coaching point. And everybody knew to look at me. And I'd point something out. I teach them the game of football. It's you're going to learn. You continue to learn as you go through life. 39 years here as pastor of Fundamental Baptist Church. Man, I'm still learning things myself. The Holy Spirit blows a whistle. That great Acme Thunderer. Yeah, I hear it in my ears. He blows a whistle. He gets my attention at coaching point, and I listen. And I try to improve. And when you and in the battle, you don't quit. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Don't drop the ball. I'm out of time. Finish well. He said, oh, for 20 years I served God. Finish well. Don't be an old lady or an old man that stops serving God. There's too many of that, too much of that in the family of God. Finish well. You get to the end zone, you get to the red zone, you drop the ball, you don't score. Don't turn the ball over. Get both hands, cover both points of the ball. Carry the ball high and tight. Don't let anybody get to it. Finish well. There's nothing more satisfying. And I can remember one particular game against a team that at that time hadn't lost a game in 3 years, 2 years. It was the Onaway Cardinals. They came up to Pickford and Motor Coaches. It was a big school at that time. And they looked good. They looked good in pregame. They looked good all the way around. There's nothing more satisfying than when the final seconds of the clock tick off and you're bloodied and you're bruised and you're exhausted and even down on one knee and you look up at the scoreboard and you won. That is satisfying. Even on Saturday morning, I've forgotten all this. I would have to roll out of bed on Saturday morning. I couldn't get out of my bed. I just kind of so sore everywhere, places I didn't even know I got hit. And I just kind of roll out of bed. And like I'm a man, an old man of 62 years of age when I was 17 and 18. Just some words of wisdom this morning. From 20 years on the gridiron, blowing the whistle. Things I tried to teach other young men. Spiritual truths for the Church of Jesus Christ. Get on the team. Get off the bench. Prepare to win. Play like a man. Things are going to go wrong. Play by the rules. Don't drop the ball. Don't quit. The last thing I was going to say was, remember, it's just a game. It's just a score and a record that nobody's going to remember. Some of you just played, you finished your last year of high school, and you're thinking, oh, I still remember. You give it a decade. Nobody's going to remember. It's gone. Scores don't matter. People matter. Souls. That's what matters.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.